After the news and weather, it's the Dr.
Pat Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio Network. And it's all about Mates of the Alliance. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden is reemerging after recovering from a case of COVID.
My symptoms were mild, my recovery was quick, and I'm feeling great.
Speaking from the White House Rose Garden, Biden warned about the spread of the new BA5 variant and said COVID is still with us. He advised Americans to wear masks in crowded indoor spaces. Biden insisted full vaccinations and booster shots can prevent serious illness, hospitalization, and death. The president isolated and worked remotely from the White House residence after testing positive late last week. The Pentagon is refusing to drop its COVID vaccine mandate. Texas attorney Sean Timmons, who represents hundreds of soldiers who are suing, calls this a recruiting nightmare.
We're throwing out qualified individuals over their request for a reasonable religious accommodation.
This week, a group of Republicans filed a formal protest to the Biden administration regarding vaccine mandates in the military. Some firearms industry executives are defending their companies. Testifying in a House hearing, Marty Daniel condemned rampant deadly gun violence.
Fundamentally, I also believe that there's good and evil in our lives. And what we saw in Uvalde, Buffalo, and Highland Park was pure evil.
Daniel defended the constitutional rights of lawful gun owners. He's the CEO of Daniel Defense, LLC. Sturm, Ruger & Company President Christopher Killoy said his company aims to make products for responsible, law-abiding citizens. He acknowledged any firearm can be used for good or evil. Killoy argued it's wrong to deprive citizens of their constitutional right to purchase lawful firearms. A former Minnesota police officer is being sentenced to 3 years in federal prison for violating George Floyd's civil rights in 2020. J. Alexander King was one of the officers present when former cop Derek Chauvin kneeled on Floyd's neck and killed him. King will serve his 3 years behind bars and then be under supervised release for 2 years once his sentence in prison is over. Prosecutors said King knew his role was to stop what was happening, and he failed to do so. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Another toasty and sunny day today. High temperatures around 91, 92 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies. Low temperatures back down to about 65. For Thursday, Friday, and running up into the weekend, more sunshine, warm temperatures hovering in the low 90s. Make sure you stay cool out there. Clear skies through the overnights. Low temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. You know, I am the kind of kid that grew up with comics. I grew up with fantasy. It was my way in my world, especially a kid growing up that stuttered, being learning different. What were the ways that I got engaged in life or got engaged, period? Well, it was the world of, shall I call it fantasy, but maybe not even so much. Whether it came in the form of movies or whether it came in the form of comic books, here's the deal. It came in the form of great stories. You know, see, this is the one thing I could relate to as a kid. Today, I am so thrilled to have all of you meet Fionn Fox Faraday, winner International Impact Book Award in romance. And thank goodness, a great book about romance. Today you're going to hear about this incredible book, Karen, Mates of the Alliance. Now, why am I so excited about this? Because not only is this right up our alley, but it takes us on a journey of a powerful, powerful message. And for those of you out there, you're going to meet a woman that stepped into this world, that took on and moved beyond whatever was going on in the world around us for the past 3 years and stepped forward with her background in medicine and family members serving in World War II, Vietnam, just like I've shared with all of you. But this is a way to bring conversations and stories together. Mates of the Alliance, Mates of the Alliance, this is something I want you to remember. Today, I want to introduce you to someone that just goes beyond writing a book, but takes us on a journey so that you can feel what the characters in the book feel, so that you can imagine yourself in the unimaginable. But then what happens when maybe two of the most unlikely folks get together? What do you get? You get an award-winning book, a great story, and a time to really be present in the world of something that brings a powerful message and still takes you on the journey of universal planetary energy. It's so great to have you here. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I've been looking forward to talking with you.
My childhood is exactly like I just described, and so you can imagine how I felt when I saw the book trailer, right? First of all, thank you for doing a book trailer. I wish everybody did a book trailer. But thank you for doing that because, you know, besides reading the book and besides being there, besides being in such a beautiful place of romance, this is my opinion, by the way, you're also bringing a book to the forefront that was so important to bring. But let's talk about you, if we could, for a minute. You know, a lot of times when we hear about books like this, stories like this, they come from people that so are in the groove of this. They don't usually come from people that are in a different profession, that have busy careers, and I'm not quite sure why. But that's not really the whole story for you, is it? Because something touched your heart. You saw some things in this COVID world that really busted open your heart, didn't you?
It has been a rough year, couple years, of course, for all of us. Back in 2020, I had a medical scare, and they put me on no call for 6 weeks and no work responsibilities for 2 weeks. And I kind of watched every single television show, binge-watched, read all my to-be-read books. And then when I came back, it was in the midst of the first wave of COVID. And it was, I don't have to say it, it was truly awful for everybody. And, I'm an ICU doc, and I have it easier than a lot of the staff in the unit because I come by and I check on my patients for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes at a time, and then I move on to the next patient. A lot of my good friends are ICU nurses, and how the ICU generally works is they have two patients, and they spend 12-hour shifts with them continuously. And this was, when we first started, the patients weren't allowed to have visitors. So their sole means of support, emotional support, were the nurses. And these nurses got to know these patients, and a lot of the patients were family members of each other. We lost families. It was awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was hard to leave that at home. And, you know, the ICU nurses were so dedicated. I can't say enough about them. They're amazing people. And a lot of them got burnout because they commit so much to this. So it was hard to leave work at home. And I'd come home and I would watch TV and that didn't do anything because it was just too much stress and you'd bring work home with you. So I started to write. And I wanted to write something where, you know, there was a thread of hope and we didn't have enough, the right technology, we didn't have enough medications, the right medications to save these people. And I wanted to write something where it was a different world, and it was a catastrophe, but we had the means to save people. And I wanted to give us hope, and everyone loves a good romance, something to make them smile. And, you know, hope gets us through it. Oh, otherwise, the last couple of years.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, even today, it's so interesting you and I are talking about this. And I want to just make sure everyone knows, Fionn, that as you and I are talking, I want to make sure people know that you all can go to Amazon, please. And if you're listening to this, please follow along, because there's something that you'll find. You'll see the imagery that we're going to be talking about. And when you go to Amazon, you're going to be looking for Mates of the Alliance book, K-A-I-R-N, when we say the word Karen, K-A-I-R-N, Fionn Fox Faraday, of course. This is an award-winning book, but it's more than that. When you go to look here, whether it's Amazon or any other place, you'll see the imagery. And the imagery is so important. It is important in the world we live in today. It's also important when you hear me say the following. I hope that this book is made into a movie. I don't know if that's like on the horizon, but I'm telling you, this would be one of those things that I could see people relating to for a lot of reasons. I want to ask you this question in writing the book without giving away the whole book. This is a romance novel. This is a book that engages people beyond this, but it's also a really cool story that takes us to a place where millions of people really want to go now. They want to go to this place and look at intergalactic stuff. They were fascinated by it, right? What was it about this venue that fascinated you? Because you could have written this story in another way maybe, but no, you really took it to the place that I live. Tell me about that.
I've always loved science fiction, and, you know, I grew up on Star Trek and Gene Roddenberry. And it was, you know, that series was ahead of its time because, you know, back then when it first started and, you know, we didn't have, you know, multiracial crews working together or romances.
Okay.
And it showed that, and it showed the camaraderie and the brotherly love, sisterly love between the entire crew. And I wanted to draw upon that and, you know, part of this book, it's a romance, but it's also a bromance as well.
Because, yes, it is.
Yeah, because, you know, Karen's crew, until he meets Daria, is the only family he's known for decades, years. And they will do anything for each other. And I hope that comes through in the book.
Yes,
they absolutely love like family.
It does come through. And that's really why I ask you the question, because it comes through in a way that, and I'm with you about Star Trek. I'm with you about anything that's related to that. And, you know, so far ahead of its time. And see, again, what you're doing is you're really bringing forth the camaraderie that we have seen across the board now. I mean, these are the stories I think we are not going to keep telling. And for so many of us, we know the effects of COVID are not over. I mean, we know they're not over. I mean, what did we wake up with today? The president right now today. All of us who went through 3 years of not getting COVID got COVID afterwards, right? But that's not the whole story. The whole story is, you know, when you look at, in your words, if I may say, a world bitterly divided, right? Because this is some of the language in here. I thought, what is she talking about? You captured that so beautifully. What is it that we could learn, if we just look at Karen for a minute, what could we learn from that level of bromance camaraderie? What is the underpinning power that this team is showing us?
There is a scene early on in the book, and it's when Karen is first addressing the representatives of the Earth governments, and they're all clamoring for their share of the water and their share of the resources that he's bringing to try and salvage what's left of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up something along the lines, because he's got silver hair, fur, and somebody makes a really nasty comment about, well, we know we trust you, but what about these other fur-colored crew members of yours? And he's taken aback because... And he's very disappointed and disillusioned with them because on his crew, they don't judge by, you know, hair color or fur color or hair color. They judge by merit and character. And as he puts it, you know, I thought you had too. And he's thinking in the back of his head, you are more primitive and not as advanced as I had hoped, unfortunately. And, you know, that's emphasized through the book that, you know, all the superficial differences don't matter. What matters is who we are underneath, our character, you know, loyalty, you know, faithfulness. And he values everybody based on that. And it's very clearly drawn out in that book. And he also wants to help them, but help out earthlings, humans. But he doesn't want to give them a handout. He wants to give them a hand up.
Yeah.
He basically, you know, teach them to fish. You feed them for a lifetime. If you give them a fish, you only feed them for a day. There's a difference, and we've got to make sure they understand that.
Yeah, I mean, this is for me. First of all, I thought about it as I'm reading the book. I thought about I just am so excited to be speaking with you because I too grew up with quite the imagination, right? Influenced early on like you were influenced. And I'm very grateful for being learning different because being learning different meant I couldn't read or write. I stuttered most of my teenage years and off I went. And so I was able to get immersed in the story. This is a beautiful story, but it's also powerful. And it is a story that goes beyond the bromance, but it goes to a point of connection between Daria and Karen. And I want to talk for a minute about what was in your heart. What was in your heart when you saw the vision for the connection between these two people?
Well, they're two, even though they're, you know, superficially extremely different, underneath it all, they're both, you know, looking for someone that will see them for who they are and, you know, completely accept them, embrace them. And, you know, Karen's, despite all of his brothers, he is very lonely, and he never knew that a romance, that, this kind of love was possible. Just, you know, they're a warrior breed or species, and they are the point of the spear for their alliance. And they've just never, it's not usually in the cards for them. And he's been dreaming of her, and when he first sees her, it is kind of an insta-love on his part, but it's not on hers. It takes her a while to see past the initial superficial differences. The first time he smiles at her, she sees is teeth, huge fangs.
Mm-hmm.
And to know him, because he basically finds out what's important to her and tries to do things for her that she would value. And that's what really wins her heart. And it's just, it's people who really know you and accept you for what you really are. And it's a story of hope. And also, you know, you have this huge alien who is, you know, physically very imposing. And there's a scene in the back of the book where all the tech that they have is not enough.
Mm.
And she saves his life.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of hope and praying very hard, she saves his life.
Yeah. See, that's what I love about this. That's
mm-hmm.
what I love about this. Beyond that, and this is a sneak peek, I think, at what's to come, Fiona, and I think we'll talk about that more. But one of the things I love, I'm reading through the book, and for a moment, tell me if I'm off on this. I'm reading through the book, and at the same time, I'm just listening to the nattering that's going on as to whether people believe climate, the things going on in our world and the earth and climate are even real. I mean, I'm just hearing these conversations that this is some kind of crazy thing that we're making up, yet you turn around and you look at the Tour de France that's going on right now in three-digit heat in parts of the country that you can't even imagine. You're looking at the Pacific Northwest that's having here where I live an unusual summer. People here are grateful for it. But then you're looking on the East Coast and other places, and they're like, please, we got to get some relief. And so I'm reading in the book, even though this is not about climate, it is about, what is it? Help me with the pronunciation. Is it Ikori or Ikori worship?
Ikori.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm reading about this, and for a moment, oh, my gosh, what are you really describing here? Am I reading too much into it?
Okay. And more so in the rest of the books, what is woven through the entire series is stewardship, of the planet. We only have one planet. We need to take good care of it. Or how do we expect her to take care of us? And, you know, there's so much that we have done to the planet already. And China is, you know, an economic giant. But to do that, they have completely destroyed their country. They have pumped out God knows how much pollution. That country will never be the same. And they've managed to damage the planet for the rest of us on top of it. And, you know, we are, to a large degree, we're sort of, we live in the moment. We don't always see the big picture. And, you know, we have, I have family in Texas. They have temperatures of about 110, 115 degrees in the shade.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to wake up and smell and see what we're doing. And, you know, it's, hopefully we've not passed the point of no return. There is a movie, and I know most people have heard of it, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Not the remake, the original.
Oh, my God,
and
I love it.
Exactly. And I was a little kid, I can remember the first time I saw it, and I can remember thinking, there is a big warning post at the end of at the edge of our solar system all around saying, warning, keep away, there are dangers to themselves, and it might be contagious at this point. And we just need to, you know, climate change is real. And, you know, you can't explain what's going on. And, you know, we're having huge solar flares, which is part of the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Probably why the temperature is ridiculous. But, you know, our oceans are polluted. Our lakes are polluted. It's our home. We need to take better care of it.
Somebody asked me an interesting question, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to digress too much, but somebody asked me an interesting question a couple of weeks ago in an interview, and they asked me a question because they know that I started the Green Challenge over two decades ago and a bunch of other things like that. And my experience comes from living on the East Coast and stepping on a hypodermic needle as I was walking on the beach in the Jersey Shore. And, you know, they asked me, they said, Pat, what do you think it's going to take? Now, I'm reading your book, and I'm reading this with a level of consciousness between the characters, if I might use that word. Just this level of consciousness. You know, whether they are the what I call intuitive thoughts of Daria or they are other things, whether they are the ambassadors that are out there, whether they are some of the characters, Dr. Watson, whatever it is that's in here, there's a level of awareness that I tuned into of the characters in this book that if we could have 10% of this level of awareness, I wonder what we could do with it. I mean, let me ask you about that because you, from my perspective, you really instilled that level of awareness and consciousness purposefully, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a scene where they meet some sentient animals, and as the series goes along, you meet a lot of different types of animals who become actually fairly major characters, and some of them steal scenes on a regular basis. And at the end of the book, you meet Karen's XO, his best friend, his animal companion. And, you know, it's arrogant to believe that we're the only sentient life on the planet, let alone the universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't give the other life on this planet enough credit.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we do, for instance, and this is a bit of a left field thing, I was on an island in Hawaii, and I'd never been around large animals. And I ended up, my husband had a cattle ranch or a farm, and they're beef cattle. And these animals are amazing. They are if you interact with them a lot, they become more attuned to you. And they're very smart, and they're like a very large dog. You just have to be careful because it's about a 1,800, or he or she is an 1,800-pound dog. But, you know, we take so many things for granted, or we are willfully blind sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, when I answered the question, the host that was interviewing me called me, what did he call me? Ageist. Because my answer was the following. I said, well, I think to start here in government in the United States and across the world, that most seats of political power really will need to be filled by people that are 30 years old. He's like, I didn't know you were an agent. I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you're 30 years old, you're looking at your life and you're thinking to yourself, by the time I'm 40, I may not have a planet to live on. If you're 60, 70 years old, you're looking at your life and you're saying, I'm going to be off the planet anyway. And I said, this has less to do with age. It has more to do with the degree by which you consider looking at the world as something beautiful and doing something to save it. And that's the sense I got from the book, too.
Yes. And, you know, part of the thing is, you know, I grew up on an island, and I'm not much of a, I don't get in the water, per se, but I absolutely love the ocean. And, you know, there are so many parts of the ocean that are basically dead. They have no oxygen in them.
Yep.
So you can't have any marine life. And part of it is, you know, the contamination, the organophosphates and whatnot, the fertilizers and whatnot that we pour into the oceans and you get algae blooms. But I'm going to get sidetracked. But basically, you know, I wanted to write something in an ideal world. So we have, you know, in this book, we have scrubbers that we can convert carbon dioxide into oxygen.
Yes.
Some of the other books, they find a way to restore the oxygen to the dead parts of the ocean. And it's one of those things that, you know, if only is such a powerful and frustrating at the same time phrase. People need to be more conscious because, you know, we live in the moment. And you're right, you know, people who are older just kind of, you know, they what they need to do is think about, you know, what about my kids?
Yeah.
What about my grandkids? What is going to be left for them? And, yeah. You know, sometimes when I speak with some friends who are younger, they are like, we don't want to have kids because we're afraid what we'd be bringing them into.
Oh,
and
my
that's
gosh.
That's a sad commentary.
It is. And, you know, and I can't help by, first of all, the way that you take us on this journey is a beautiful way to take us on this journey. So, you know, even though you and I are pointing some things out, I want to get to the romance part of this right now. But before I do, look, how do people get a copy of the book? How do they find out about you? How do they find out what's coming next? Let's give folks some information if we could.
The website is Mates of the Alliance, no spaces, and it is available on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The odd thing is, you know, when you write a book, you kind of fall in love with the characters. That's why you write, I suppose. But funny because I don't have a favorite book. Every book that I'm writing currently, mm-hmm. usually, favorite book. I do have a really soft spot for books 2 and 3
mm-hmm.
because they just run a chord. And I had a friend who was molested very badly when she was a child, and that just I wanted to write it for her.
I want to thank you for doing all of this. The other thing is I want to ask you this question because it does come through, and it comes through loud and clear. I mean, sometimes we love the most odd people in the world of the way our friends look at us, the way we like. We do, but we do fall in love. We do have that place. We do get to the place of our hearts opening. We do see beyond superficiality in so many ways, and that's what I love about what you've done.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we're kind of conditioned to look for certain things by, and I hate to say it, by the media and what's in the Internet as to what is our standard of beauty.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, we're human, and we are attracted perhaps initially physically, but what keeps you with someone is who they are. And sometimes, you know, when you look, the most, and this is going to sound generalizing, and I'm sorry. The most beautiful people sometimes don't have the best personalities. Not all. It's mm-hmm. a generalization.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what the people who you really end up falling in love with are the ones who get to know you and love you for who you are and accept you completely. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the best person in the room. It's also a personality thing because you need to be engaged. They need to first, and it may be physical initially, but then they need to win your mind and your heart goes along with it. You know, if you're engaged, if they make you laugh, if they make you think, if they make you smile and look forward to seeing them all the time, that's that's magic right there. And it may be, you know, that's another word for it is love. And that applies for friends as well.
Yeah. I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you for bringing all the characters to life, some we didn't even talk about today. But I would encourage people to go ahead and get the book, right?
Yes, please. I think one of the biggest compliments you can have, or I can imagine, is someone who goes, you know, when I read your book, it made me smile, and it gave me a sense of hope, and I'm going to read it again because it made me feel good.
Yeah, that's me. And I'm going to, you know, wait for the movie, too.
You know, it's interesting that you said that because it's currently being converted into a screenplay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, I can't thank you enough for being able to really bring this beautiful, beautiful story. But it's also a powerful story. And it's a powerful story that has so many different messages throughout it. So thank you for doing that. Thank you. Again, please tell folks how they can find out about you and how they can get a copy of the book.
The website is Mates of the Alliance, no spaces. And it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as an ebook. The paperback will be released hopefully in late September.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. One last question. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Gosh, I mean, there's so much going on right now. You know, I was getting to the point where I was trying not to read the headlines because it was just so disturbing. But, you know, if you look, and you may have to look hard, but there is hope, and that's what's going to get us through this. And we're going to get through it together, and we just have to, you know, we can do anything when we actually put our minds to it. We just have to have enough people who get to that point and say, you know, this is what we need to do, and we're going to do it now, and that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not really a choice.
I love it. Thank you so much. I look forward to the next time we speak because we've got lots more to talk about. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Pat. I really appreciate that.
You bet. Let's take a short break, everybody. Get the book. You'll see what I'm talking about. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Welcome to the Be Happy Now show. Flex your soul connection muscles and be your inner guide to fulfillment and purpose. I'm Claudia Sam. If you know that you're here for a bigger reason, this is the place to be. Together, we ditch the self-care guilt and quit the go-go-go with less fear and more trust. Tune in to living life in alignment with your full potential. The Be Happy Now show starts now. Hi, welcome back to the show. Today's all about Self-Love 101, and if you're like, well, Claudia Sam, I don't love myself every day. How do I even love myself on days when I don't feel there yet? Oh, I know. Sometimes it can feel like someone asking you to marry them on the first date, right? We are wanting to rip the Band-Aid off. We want to go straight to self-love when we don't really feel we're even there a little bit. Don't worry. I'm going to take you through it. And if you feel like you're in that energy slump of loving yourself, well, you're really at the right place. I'm Claudia Sam. I'm your soul connection coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. And this is an episode where I get to share with you a text I wrote on what self-love is to me. And I'm going to share with you the foundations of what self-love is to me so that you can be inspired and motivated and perhaps reconnect with your worthiness to feel loved by you. And I really believe that self-love is the foundation of health, of growth, of success, of happiness, of abundance, of positivity, and of inner peace. That from this foundation of self-love, we get to embody the person we wish to be in the world, the person we wish to be with others in the world as well. And if it's the first time listening to the show, welcome. Welcome. If we have never met yet, well, I'm your soul connection coach, and I support driven, ambitious leaders and guides who deep down know that they're here for a bigger reason. They know, you know, perhaps, that you want to live life with your passion. You want to be able to lead your life from this place of passion and to do that, maybe we get to dig a little bit deeper into the well of your inner self-confidence so that that can transpire and just be what emanates, the energy that emanates out from your core being. So I support clients one-on-one or in groups. I also host the Soul Connector Circle, which is pretty much a group-based environment where you get to receive daily pocket coaching to be on your way to more self-love every day, to have motivation and coaching from me every day. And by listening to the show, you get your first month at 50% off. So if you're like, yep, I want to try that, I'm on the go and I want to receive daily pocket coaching, then go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the code radio50 and you'll be in. Okay. I want to start by sharing with you the text that I wrote, because it might just bring us into the groove of what self-love is for me. And anything I share here, I want you to know that you get to take my words and use what resonates with you and just live out the rest. You also get to create your own definition and meaning of whatever I say. Maybe you take what I say and you make something new with it. And that is great, okay? All right, so let's sit comfortably. Allow yourself to just receive the words that I'm going to share with you. And notice what emotion, what feeling, what experience you're getting from receiving these words, okay? And if you've been here before, because I was talking to you if you were new, but if you've been here before, thank you so much for listening or watching the Be Happy Now show. Okay, ready? Let's take a deep breath in together. Exhale everything. Inhale through the nose. Open the mouth to exhale. If you want to receive these words, close your eyes. You might want to close your eyes. You might also want to bring your hands to your heart as an act of self-love to receive these words of self-love. It's like your inner higher self speaking to you. Self-love is a part of you. It's a place you go within. It's an inner knowing. It's who you are. Even if you forgot, self-love is what you've got. Look up to the moon and notice if it's waning or waxing, if it's lit up or awaiting. Then look down to your heart and notice it's still beating. Notice if it's lit up or awaiting. And from that place, remember that self-love, even if tucked far away, it's still there ready for you to lift the veil. The veil of shoulds, coulds, have-tos, and need-tos. The veil of expectation and rejection. The veil of pessimism and other isms. You were born with the right to be loved, to give love. And the first person to replenish by your love is you. Self-love happens when you nourish your body with the breath consciously. Self-love happens when you eat intentionally. Self-love happens when you stop internalizing and embrace your emotions emotionally. Self-love is knowing when to stop. Self-love is standing tall with confidence connected to your inner power and taking action from that place within, from that place within that exudes worthiness and belonging. Self-love is a place you go whenever others aren't mirroring your value. Self-love is that energy you access when it feels like the world outside you wants to fail you. Self-love is the inner landscape you get to connect with in any experiment. That landscape you uncover corner by corner, inch by inch, moment after moment. That inner landscape that has no memory of the forgetful and the optimal abundance of the elegance of the divine. Self-love is that part of you that says yes to what's in alignment. Self-love is that part of you that knows what feels all right, that intuitive knowing that vibrates at the frequency of light, that aligned feeling you get when life feels just right. Self-love is a part of you. It's a place you go within. It's an inner knowing. It's who you are. Take a deep breath in. Hold the breath. Feel expansive from within. And exhale to let it go and let these words sink deep within. It's left to know what your experience was of hearing these words. And I feel like the list of what self-love is could go on and on and on and on. I just feel like my earring might be creating extra sound here on the microphone, so I'm just taking it off, okay? Thank you for your patience. The list of these, what self-love is, meaning or definitions, could go on and on and on. And this is just me, what felt in alignment for me to write just 15 minutes before the show was live, because it felt like I felt poetic and I felt like self-love is so many things. And what I want to bring to you today are three words that you can anchor into, so that self-love isn't a poem that you get to listen to once in a while, which of course that's what you get to do. And you could also use these three words I'm going to share with you as the foundations of self-love. So if on any given moment, at any given moment, you feel a little low on the self-love meter, you get to remember these three words and then realign yourself. Because there are moments in our cycle, in the 24-hour day, in the year, in the week, that we might feel lower on the energy scale. We might feel like we need someone else. We need the love to come from outside of us. We might need for validation and reassurance from others. And that's okay. What I feel is the most important is the well of self-love that is always there and always accessible within you, is that you get to be at choice. You get to choose whether you allow that validation and the reassurance to come from outside at times, and at other times when it comes from within you, at least you know it's there. And you get to constantly choose where the love is coming from. Which brings me to share with you the first word of three that can help you with the foundations of self-love. The first word is choice. Choice in the extent that you get to set boundaries for yourself. You get to choose what you say yes to and what you say no to. You get to be at choice about what drains your energy and what uplifts your energy. You get to choose what thoughts that you have, what reactions or actions that you have or take. You get to choose how you treat yourself, what foods you nourish your body with. You get to choose to be present with your breath or to be present with a Netflix show. You get to choose whether you let the mind voice, the head voice, lead the way, or whether it's the heart voice and the intuition. Choice is such a powerful word. Even if some people might say that we don't really choose, the choices are already laid out in front of us, I find that we are empowered beings, that until we know, until we are aware that we are at choice, it's kind of like we let life run itself, when we could actually be so much more, well, at choice and in control when we feel like things are out of control. So choice is a word that I'm inviting you to use as a foundation for self-love. When it comes to setting boundaries, if you feel like something you usually do that feels not, well, right, doesn't feel right, it feels draining, it feels too much, it feels like, ugh, I don't want to do this, or ugh, that again. Anytime you find yourself in that energy or thinking these thoughts, remember that they are there as an indicator. And then you get to choose, oh, wait, if this action I'm about to take is draining me, then can I choose something else? Can I make another choice, another decision that feels more in alignment with my heart? And by choosing whatever feels in alignment with your heart, that is an act of love towards yourself. That's an act of love towards yourself, okay? Knowing when to stop is also a beautiful way to set boundaries and to be at choice. When you are, or if you find yourself always on the go, 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 if you find yourself using the word busy when someone asks you, how are you? And you say, I'm good, I'm busy, I'm good, but busy. We're not making this wrong. I'm just shining a light on the fact that you get to be busy and aware. And when it feels like it's too much, when it feels like, wow, this is going to take me to burnout, I can see it, I can feel it, then you get to be at choice. You get to know when to stop. That is an act of love, and that is being at choice. So if you're thinking, if you came in here listening to the Be Happy Now show and this episode thinking, I'm going in front of the mirror and I look at myself and I can't tell myself that I love myself, it just doesn't work. The vibration of energy isn't exchanged properly. It just feels so false, like I'm lying to myself. I get it. So notice how being at choice isn't necessarily about going in front of the mirror and declaring your love to yourself or marrying yourself. It can be about choosing what to say yes to, what to say no to, setting boundaries so that your energy can be uplifted instead of draining. Or, okay, please know that if you choose something that's draining, but you're choosing it because that's what you want right now, then that's fine. And we're releasing the judgment around it. And knowing when to stop when you are so used to being busy is also a beautiful act of self-love. So again, the word is choice. One of the three words I'm going to share with you. If you're just joining us, I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection Coach, and this is the Be Happy Now show, and we are talking about Self-Love 101. And three words that I'm offering up to you as the foundations of self-love, the first word being choice. The second word is awareness. Yes, awareness. Right now, what is the one thing that you are actively doing and that you might not notice? Could be that your heart is beating. Yeah. What about the breath? You're breathing. You're blinking, and sometimes even blinking, we're not noticing that we're blinking. I want to bring your attention to the breath. The breath is this life force that animates the body, that replenishes us with oxygen, and that releases the carbon dioxide, releases the toxins that the body no longer needs. Powerful is that. When we are in awareness with the breath and everything else that's happening in our body, in our mind, and with our emotions, that is also an act of self-love. Because with awareness, we grow. With awareness, we can set boundaries and we can even be at choice. With awareness, we get to make decisions that make us happy. And with awareness, we slowly get to be in front of the mirror and look at ourselves and say, I love you. That's my goal, for you to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and go, wow, I love you. And for it to come from the heart, because it's possible. Okay, there are days when I get off out of bed and I go brush my teeth and I look up and I just cross eyes with myself. And some days I'm like, oh, right, I'm here. And I lock eyes with myself and I take the time to be aware of the moment. I take the time to be at choice with the moment and to choose to look at myself in the mirror and to lock eyes with myself. And eventually to say, I love you to myself. When we're talking about awareness, I want to mention the awareness wheel, which you might have heard me speak about in previous episodes of the Be Happy Now show. The awareness wheel includes the body, the mind, and the emotions. And it's a wheel because when it comes to awareness, you can begin or enter the wheel at any place. You can start by being aware of the headache that you have. Or you can start to be aware of the pressure that you need to do more, or the whatever thoughts that are keeping alive the busyness, for example. You could also enter the awareness wheel, noticing a feeling of unworthiness or a feeling of being judged or unsatisfied. You get to enter the awareness wheel at any point. So when it comes to being aware, or when it comes to the word awareness, remember that you get to be aware with everything. You can choose to be aware of the senses. Right now, look around you. Be aware of the color that stands out at you. When we focus on that one thing, I bet you, you weren't necessarily thinking about the unworthiness. We are training the mind to focus on something, and we are slowly training the mind to be able to say, I love you, to yourself. So by being at choice about setting boundaries for yourself, saying yes to yourself, and saying no to things that drain you, that is an act of love. So is being aware, being in awareness. And it starts with the breath. Because it's this thing that is the life force. When we are aware of the breath, we lengthen the breath, we lengthen the inhale, and we lengthen the exhale. My Guruji's Guruji in Nepal, so my teacher's teacher in Nepal, would say that we are born with a set amount of breaths. And so the yogi's life, is extended because of the length of the inhale and the length of the exhale that is longer. And in Tantra Yoga, which is the tradition that I learned in Nepal when I lived there in 2016 and 2017, in Tantra Yoga, the breath is you inhale for a set amount of time, let's say a count of four, then you hold the breath, and then you exhale longer than the inhale. So if you think about it, that goes in alignment with what my Guruji's Guruji was saying about, you know, we are born with a set amount of breath. And I'd love for you to experience how much being aware of breath is an act of self-love, especially when you're stuck in the overthinking overwhelm, or when the mind is just going at it with self-criticism, with judgment, with pessimism, with fear, name it. This type of breath can really help calm you down and release anxiety. Would you like to try it? Okay. We're going to inhale for a count of four. We're going to hold the breath for a count of three, and we're going to exhale for a count of five. Sounds good? Follow my lead. Exhale everything. And you're breathing through the nose. Inhale, one, two, three, four. Hold, one, two, exhale, five, four, three, two, one. Inhale, one, two, three, four. Retain. Exhale, five, four, three, two, one. Again, notice the transition between the exhale and the inhale. Hold the breath. And notice the transition again as you exhale. Beautiful. Now come back to normal breath. Just notice right now the state of your being. Notice the energy you're in. Notice how much calmer just after three conscious breaths. By being aware of the breath, by entering the awareness wheel, either at being aware of your body, how the body feels, what is the discourse in the mind, or what emotions you are experiencing, by being aware of any and all of that, it is an act of self-love, and you get to walk more towards loving yourself completely. Okay? The third word, so we had choice, awareness, and now alignment. When I say alignment, I mean being okay with what you said before now, with what you did before now, before with being okay with who you were before now, being okay with what is. Instead of ruminating or judging or being guilty, feeling guilty about what you said or did or meant to be. Releasing the guilt, releasing the shame, releasing the judgment, and being in alignment with who you really are, with what is in the present moment, with what is in the essence of your soul. That is being in alignment. Another way to say this would be being in alignment with what feels right, in the essence of you get to either be busy or you get to be. You just get to be. You get to be busy or you get to slow down. You get to be in an energy of doing or you get to be in an energy of being. You get to choose, depending on the moment, what feels right. If you want to be in the go, 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 and you want to take action from the energy of I need to feel productive, when you know that this comes from an energy of doing and you're okay with it, let go of the guilt and shame and just be with that. Be in alignment with what feels right in the moment for you. And being in alignment is all about honoring your soul, honoring the divinity, the energy of your words, the energy of you as a being. Because before we were human, we were energy, and we still are energy. And you can still feel energy if you just rub your palms together right now. By rubbing the palms together, we are, well, creating heat. And we could go on and on and on with this, but very slowly stop. And then separate the hands like a few centimeters apart or an inch. And feel the push and pull magnetic sensation. That is energy, and the energy extends beyond your fingertips. And when you can be in alignment with the source of who you are, the soul self, the energy realm of who you are as a divine being, that is also an act of self-love because you're descending from the head to the heart. You're moving out of the busy and into the being. This is an act of love towards you. You are accessing what feels right to you, what feels in alignment with your soul self. So the three words that can be your foundation for more self-love are choice, awareness, and alignment. I would love to hear your thoughts and how this whole perhaps new way of seeing self-love feels for you. And I want to leave you with an affirmation. Instead of looking at yourself in the mirror and lying to yourself in a way, saying, I love you to you when you don't fully love yourself, maybe add a few words that can help you. For example, look at yourself and say, I am working towards loving you. I'm working towards loving you. And being fully honest with yourself. That is also an act of love. Thank you so much for being here with me on this episode of the Be Happy Now show. And again, if you feel like you want to receive daily pocket coaching to keep your new self-loving habits on track, then join me in the Soul Connector Circle at 50% off of your first month. Use the code RADIO50. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com. And I'd love for you to join me in this dance between ego and soul so that you can nourish yourself with more self-love on a daily basis, get out of the head, access the heart, find that alignment with that divinity, with that energy of your soul self, and be at choice about whether you get to be aware of the head voice or the heart voice. It's pretty much gathering everything we've talked about today. It is the dance between ego and soul. It's a 30-day challenge for free that you can register to and play with me between June 15th and July 14th. And if you listen and hear this at any point after or during, still join me. Go to claudiasamsoulcoaching.com/ego versus soul, ego vs Soul. And you can also watch the videos that I've been playing with since April 17th, 2022. Now we're on day 55 of Dancing with Ego and Soul. You can watch my videos on my personal Facebook page. Go to my page, Claudia Sam Cataford Sauve. I'm so looking forward to seeing you there and getting to know you more. Thank you. And here's to more self-love. You've been listening to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around this hour. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Still slow traffic on 405 northbound after that earlier accident, the 167, as you're climbing up through the Kennedale Hill to break free at the top there around, looks like, the Newcastle area and the VMAX, of course, that construction zone. Also, heads up, there will be an afternoon Mariners game at T-Mobile Park, so traffic delays and increased congestion around I-5, 99, and I-90. Starting the next couple of hours. But that's right, stay tuned, because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's Psychic in the Doc, Mark Anthony and Dr. Pat. They'll be chatting with their special guest, Chris DiPerno, about UFOs.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The Federal Reserve is poised to raise interest rates again. The central bank is wrapping up its two-day meeting, and there's little doubt about an increase as the debate is over how much it will be. It's widely expected that the anticipated hike will be in the neighborhood of 0.75 percentage point, with some rumblings of a full percentage point increase. President Biden says he's feeling great after testing negative for COVID. Speaking from the White House Rose Garden, Biden praised the effectiveness of the COVID treatment Paxlovid, which he took during his isolation. He worked remotely from the White House residence after he tested positive late last week. A former Minneapolis police officer is being sentenced to 3 years in federal prison for violating George Floyd's civil rights in 2020. J. Alexander King was one of the officers present when former cop Derek Chauvin kneeled on Floyd's neck and killed him. King will serve his 3 years behind bars and then be under supervised release for 2 years once his sentence in prison is over. The Mega Millions jackpot is estimated to be over $1 billion after nobody won the big prize in last night's drawing. Scott Pringle reports.
Several second prize-winning tickets were sold in New York and New Jersey. A $1 million ticket sold at the Honeybee Convenience Store in Graniteville on Staten Island. Another sold upstate in Saratoga. And a couple million-dollar tickets were sold in New Jersey. The next drawing is Friday with the jackpot just over $1 billion.
A big semiconductor bill is headed to the House after passage by the Senate. The bipartisan measure aims to boost U.S. production of computer chips. It's also designed to bolster American competition with China. Banning abortions nationwide would result in a higher number of deaths by mothers during pregnancy. That's the finding of a University of Colorado Boulder study, which says 24% more mothers would die if they didn't have access to abortion services. The mortality rate increases to 39% when focusing only on black mothers. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Our U.S. medical system is the world's best for trauma. It can also extend our final years, even if we're in a sad state. But the system is just not good at keeping us in balance and preventing disease. I'm certified clinical nutritionist Marty Whittigan. On Healthy by Nature, our experts help you feel your best and stay healthy.
Healthy by Nature, Thursdays at 7 a.m. Learn more at hbnshow.com. That's hbnshow.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
There are shows with psychics.
And there are shows with doctors.
But there's no show like The Psychic and the Doc.
Your practical paranormal power unleashed.
This show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street-smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Basile. All subjects are on the table, and no topic is taboo. Inspiration, insight,
action, and fun as Mark Anthony connects callers with loved ones in spirit.
In tandem with Dr. Pat's fresh, no-nonsense, street-smart, intuitive insights, and she is hilarious.
Extraordinary problems
require extraordinary solutions, which may come from this side
or the other side. This is The Psychic
and The Doc, and it starts now. Welcome back. I'm Mark Anthony, The Psychic, and I'm with my amazing co-host, Dr. Pat Vasily.
I told
we
you.
We have a very special guest. Chris DiPerno. So, Chris, before we get to Dr. Pat's question, which is a great question, you went from being a police detective, no-nonsense skeptic, to not only a believer in extraterrestrials, but an investigator.
Correct.
How did that happen?
Yeah, well, and tell people what investigator means. Now, and the reason I want you to do this, because, you know, My cousin, police chief over there in Ramsey, New Jersey, if I don't ask this question, I'm going to get a million emails from him. Let's just tell people the depth and the breadth of what that means to be an investigator, if you don't mind, Chris.
Sure. Well, there's actually two different things. There's a detective and an investigator. I was a criminal detective. A detective, NYPD, Syracuse PD, a lot of places have the titles of detective. The only real difference is that a detective is more proactive. A lot of them will go out and seek the crimes and also investigate them. Investigators, the crime has already happened in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, if they stumble on something, they're going to take care of it. But they usually take cold cases or cases that already have happened and investigate it from there. Detectives do the same thing. But they actually try to be more proactive in what they're doing. We would get assigned cases, major cases like homicides and shootings, stabbings, and work on that and see if we can jump off of that and see if there's another case attached to it, you know, something goes on with that. So that's exactly what detectives and investigators do. They put puzzles together and find out who did it.
And from that background, though, you know, Mark, let's get to your conversation about this, because, see, that was like a mouthful, right? See, what he just said right there, that was like, oh, there's like the word, and then there's like the thing. So he just gave us like the thing.
So how did you make the jump from police work to the Mutual UFO Network?
Well, when I was a cop, I used to terribly tease other cops if they saw something in the sky. I mean, it was just not accepted to do that. It's like I would, you know, probably hang flying saucer pictures on their lockers or hang them from the walls or, you know, draw pictures of aliens and stuff because I didn't believe it. I had no idea. But, you know, when you work the night shift, a lot of cops would come in and say, well, I saw something strange in the sky. And they wouldn't report it. And they wouldn't tell people. But from that, I kind of got this instinct saying, hey, I got to figure out what the hell is going on with this thing. But I'm not going to do it while I'm doing police work because, you know, I would get the same kind of razzing as I was giving others. So when I retired, I said, okay, I'm going to debunk this. I actually had it in mind to debunk UFOs because I thought they got to be top secret military planes. They got to be something the U.S. government's working on or natural phenomena. So I joined the Mutual UFO Network in order to start that type of process. And then I started getting cases into this stuff. And I started getting videos and stuff. And I said, okay, here's my chance to debunk it. And then I send the videos to experts who can break it down, or photos to break it down. And they come back, no, that's the real deal, Chris. That's not a military plane. And I go, you're kidding me. No. And so I went to interview these people, sit there, because I was trained to as an interrogator. My specialty in police work was an interview and interrogator. So I would sit down and watch their body languages and telling these stories. And I would watch to see their eyes, you know, I would get into the, you know, the neurolinguistics and the, you know, the everything about their eyes, how they move and stuff like that if they're trying to create something. And these people being straightforward with me. they're like saying, hey, you know, this guy's not lying. He actually either had a craft land in his backyard. So then you try to find the physical evidence to it.
Yeah.
And you get radiation readings. You get indentations to the ground that were exact measurements. And you kind of go, there's something to this.
Yeah.
So I mean, go ahead, Dr. Pat. We have an interesting angle here because we're going to start talking about alien abductions, and there's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And we got the best panel here for that. We got Dr. Pat, who is an expert in working with people with post-traumatic stress disorder. We have a police detective, UFO investigator. And in my work as an attorney and as a psychic medium, I definitely deal with people reeling from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, we could talk all night about the government releasing information on UFOs last year, but let's get to people who have been or who claim to have been abducted. Can you tell us about an incident there and the after effects of it?
And I want to add a part two to that question, because there's a part two to the question. And the part two to the question is the PTSD you get from nobody believing you. You know, there's the PTSD from the event, you know, and Chris, want to hear from you. But you also know that there's nothing worse than having an experience and nobody will believe you. And, you know, when you put those two together, that is the 1-2 punch that will bring people down. Right, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. You're 100% right, doctor. The PTSD is an amazing for these people because, I'll explain about that during the whole thing, is that when they get abducted and screen memories are put in or certain types of memories are actually implanted into them, they become very scared of those memories, and it takes a dramatic effect, and there's the residual effects of that, you know, that some people will sleep against a wall, some people will have to look at their blinds, some people will go every night to lock their doors, pull their shades, because they're scared they're going to come back.
Yeah. And and these are, let's just talk about these nuances for a minute if we could, because we're not even talking about what we now know multi-generationally, and that is what happens when those folks have children. That's a whole different show, right? But that is a thing.
Absolutely. And this is the scariest part. I had one abductee who's so frightened because he's been abducted several times and he's had side effects. He's actually lost weight. He's constantly dehydrated. Mm. He has a significant amount of he can't retain salt. I mean, his salt intake is just absolutely, he's got a bowl that he actually sticks his finger in at nighttime to just craving salt all the time. But he is so scared because he's understood that one of his parents were an abductee. He's become an abductee. Mm. And his child has now become an abductee.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he's trying to protect his child, because now his child is frightened from this.
Yeah.
And this is a very, very scary experience. I call it kidnap and assault.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people call it experience or abduction. It's a crime. If you look at this, if I was to go in somebody's house at 2 o'clock in the morning, take them out or take their child out, I would be in prison for 25 years. Yeah. Now, we can't put
it. And it's not just that they take these people. I've done readings for a number of people who said that they were abductees, and the information that came through was uncanny. And there's something that I wanted to bring up, is in every reading that I've done for an abductee, their spirits, all right, so I'm doing a reading for an abductee, and the spirits connected to that person come through, and they always say that they targeted you because of your cellular structure and how you metabolize protein.
Correct.
And I remember the first time we talked, Chris, I mentioned that to you, and you were like, oh, my God. Now, why oh, my God?
Well, oh, my God is because protein is very important to them. And if you see some of the things that they are doing, first of all, the information that I got about the grays is that they do not metabolize protein like we do. They actually, from the information I received, is that the one grade that they have at S4 down at Area 51, they had to bring in a bunch of botanists because they can't metabolize it as we do. And so they have to rub, they have to create a protein paste and rub it onto their skin and have the protein absorbed through their skin. So they're very interested in how we absorb protein. Now, I say that because in the hybridization process, they take all kinds of samples. And I, and my theory is that in the hybridization process, that they are taking away from the alien way of taking protein into the body and using our way. Our way to them is probably much more efficient. And so when they hybridize a human, they want to have that type of protein assimilation into them rather than the way they do it. And yeah, that's why you see the cattle mutilations, because, you know, we, people ask me, why are they taking the intestines? Why aren't they taking the filet mignon, the T-bone? And I said the same thing. I go, these guys don't know what a good cut of steak is, you know? And I'm like, man, I got to, for somebody who's got the geniuses to come light years to come here, they can't figure it out. But then I started researching the cow's intestines, believe it or not. And we eat cow's intestines called
Sprite. Yeah, we do.
You know, and so, and it's chock full of protein, but it has phosphorus, it has nitrates, it has B12. So if they are really stuck on the protein, which I think they are, what better way to get it than through a cow's intestines?
Yeah. I mean, part of this, look, there are so many questions, and we have really gotten a number of our callers that want to really just speak with you, Chris.
Sure.
They've got some questions for you. So I want to turn it back over to, if I could, I want to get right back over there to Jacob. And Jacob, let's bring on our first caller before we go to break. I can't wait to hear what the question is.
Sounds great. We've got Luis calling in from Florida. Hi there, Luis.
Hi, Luis. What do you have for our very special guest here, Chris?
Hey, Luis. You're on air on the Psychic and the Doc.
Hello there. Good evening. I apologize why I've been waiting online. I haven't been able to hear much of the discussion, so I hope my comments or questions aren't out of line. I grew up listening to my father talk about the balls of lightning or St. Elmo's fire that they attributed to walking with him on the beat at night. But that was a little bit of something that we grew up with. The question I have for you, sir, though, many of the abductees report loss of time, the elements of time. And I wondered if there has ever been any discussion, knowing that velocity being acceleration and time, everybody talks about trying to travel faster than light. Do you think maybe the abductees have given us a clue that perhaps it isn't the element of distance that people have to worry about, but do we think perhaps we encounter have some ability to manipulate time?
Yes. That is a great question, Louise. Yeah. Let me explain something that we are actually working on now. Everybody knows about missing time. So a person gets abducted and they can't remember what happened to them for 2 or 3 hours. But here's the thing that we're working on now called the suspension of time. And it's happening to pilots, fighter pilots. They go up and they encounter a UFO. And they say, oh, my God, look at this thing. It's flying all over the place. And they come back and they say, I only encountered this thing for 5 minutes. But the radar operator, the captain, the flight officer goes, you've been up there with it for a half an hour, 45 minutes. What do you mean 5 minutes? Here's the kicker. The gas or the fuel that they use for the fighter jet only registered enough for 5 minutes of flight. So they are able to suspend time. So your question is awesome. Now, here's the thing with the suspension of time. They're conscious. Where missing time, you're not conscious. You're not sure what happened, and you have to go back in your memory. In the suspension of time, you're conscious, but you're not aware how long it is. Does that answer your question, Lee?
Yes, it does. I thank you very much for taking the time to do that. I just wondered because, I really am enjoying the show, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Jacob, why don't we take a quick break? And for those of you out there, we are taking your calls and questions for Chris right now, 1-800-930-2819. Please do one thing for us. Turn off your radio in the background. You'll be able to hear the show on your phone as you're on hold. So let's make sure we do that. When we come back, we've got more callers for Chris. Let's get it rolling here, everybody. We'll be right back.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Our ability to align with our true highest self and create freedom and prosperity is infinite. Take the journey back to me, a guided journey back to your true self in 40 days with me, Freedom Coach and Oracle Gina Gale Gray. Move from overwhelm to balance, composure, and vitality. Restore connection and compassion. Open your heart and tap into your limitless power within your soul. Begin your journey at anywheremindbodysoul.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul, with Julie O and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time, with me, Dr. Crystal Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Anthony, welcome back to The Psychic and the Doc. I'm with my co-host, Dr. Pat Basile, and our special guest for the 75th anniversary of the mysterious Roswell incident is UFO investigator Chris DiPerno. Chris, you brought up an interesting point. Now, we got a caller, and we're going to get to the caller in a second. But when we're talking about the people who have been abducted, and after the abduction, they crave protein and salt, and you were talking about how it appears that one of the alien species, the Greys, I understand there's the reptilians, there's several different species that have been identified,
yes,
that they are engaged, you kept using the word hybridization. Now, hybridization, as I understand it, would mean or suggest that these aliens are selecting particular humans or families of humans because of how they metabolize protein, and if that's what they're doing, are they blending that DNA with their own, ergo creating a hybrid, a human-alien mixture? Is that what you're saying?
You're right on the money, Mark. It's more than just the protein. It's the actual ability, how they can use their mind for telepathic messages. We find out that people who have been abducted have an unusual ability to enhance their psychic abilities, to enhance their able to use their telepathic ability, and somehow or another they enhance it. Well, they take my theory is that they're taking these traits, like the telepathic message ability, the protein and stuff, and mixing it with their DNA, and creating a hybridization process where they'll look like us, they'll act like us, they'll walk, talk, and everything else like us, but they're not us. And we wouldn't know them if we passed them across the street.
Wow, that's amazing. And Dr. Pat, do you want to take the caller? But I want to get into...
No, let's keep talking. I'm not quite sure ready yet. Let's just keep rolling because there's a lot of information that I would love for Chris to share.
Yeah, Chris, first off, how do people get hold of you? Was that through the MUFON website, M-U-F-O-N?
Yeah, the Mutual UFO Network has a website. And if you see chapters, I'm the state director for the New York chapter, so they can go there. Mm-hmm. And get my email and be able to contact me through that, and I'll be happy to respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have a situation that they want to talk to me about, I'll get their phone number, call them. We can talk about it, see if there's anything that, you know, we can. What we want to do now is collect as much data and evidence as possible, because we know the U.S. government has been secretly, quietly investigating alien abduction. Now, why? Alien abductees have been coming back with not only injuries, but physical effects. And these physical effects are very similar to a thing that was created here on Earth called the Havana syndrome. You know, white spots on the brain, you know.
All right, hold on. Hold that thought. Let's explain what Havana syndrome is first, if okay, because see, a lot of people may not know what that
sure.
is. Do you want me to give a Cliff Notes version?
It's up to you, Mark. You
okay.
can roll or I can roll.
All right. At the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba, and Cuba is not a friendly country to the U.S., and at other embassies, U.S. embassies around the world, oftentimes in countries that are openly hostile to the U.S., there have been a number of employees there who come away with tinnitus, ringing in the ears, nausea, and brain damage, and it appears that they are being subjected to highly concentrated electromagnetic energy, basically energy weapons, specifically for the purpose of causing brain damage. Okay, Chris, back to you.
Okay. The frequencies that they're using are microwave frequencies that are actually developed by the Russians in 1952. They actually destroyed Russian ambassador, an American ambassador back then and stuff. And you're exactly right. They used the same thing in Havana, Cuba to do that. So what we're seeing is that the physical injuries of the Havana syndrome are very similar to people who have had physical injuries of abductions. Now, when people come back from abductions, they say, my God, I'm getting headaches, I'm having nausea, I'm having symptoms, I can't think, my mind is always in a fog. They get an MRI, And the MRI starts to show white spots on their brain. And we believe, I believe, that frequencies, as you know, Mark, and you know much more about frequencies than I do, but frequencies are extremely important when it comes to consciousness, communication,
right,
and everything else.
Everything's frequency. So these people come back from these experiences, and they have physical and psychological damage. Now, Dr. Pat, PTSD, not only do we have physical injury, and which includes the mental injury, but post-traumatic stress. And you brought up an interesting point. There's not just the trauma from the incident, but there's the trauma. It's like being raped, and then nobody believes you that you were raped. What are the long-term effects of that, Dr. Pat?
Well, I think there are a couple. And Heidi, we're going to get right to you in a minute. I think there are a couple. First of all, I want to get back to what Chris said. And if we understand the research methods, if we just understand, if you're doing a study, if you understand what a research method is or what a research approach is on anything, we use it in the medical profession. Anything that's researched has one thing in common. In order for you to get a long-term effect, they have to do a longitudinal study. And what does that mean? That they take a look at you at year one. My friend studied careers in China for 20 years. And you do study number one, and then you get the results of that. But then those same people, you have to have the same people. You do the study either a year later, 2 years later. Now, if we use that approach in our society because we're trying to track changes over time, then why does it get so hard for us to believe that the same people can get abducted more than once? See, that's one of the greatest denials. That's really tough. That's part of PTSD, right, Chris?
Absolutely, doctor.
Yeah.
You're right on the money when it comes to
that. It's like people are like, yes, it happened to me again. Same thing with rape victims, you know. But we're talking about science for a minute. And if we are being studied and you study anything over time with people, you can't do a study over time and study person on day one and then go get a new person. So scientific method explains that. But the other thing that you brought up, Chris, and Mark, you as well, there is a ripple effect here. You might say tsunami. And first, the person has to come to grips with the truth of what may have happened to them. So that's hard, right, Chris? I mean, just the fact where you're like, what just happened?
And, Doctor, you're so right. And here's the problem is that how do you come to grips with only flashbacks or partial memories or memories that don't make sense? For instance, you've been abducted by an owl or a deer. I had a case where a person says, Chris, I had some missing time, but just prior to that missing time, a deer was staring into my window. I go, well, you kind of live out in the country. Could a deer have gone? Chris, the window's on the second floor. I go, that's not a deer. You know, I mean, obviously a deer can't float up in the air and stare at you from the second floor. But how do you deal with the idea that you're looking at a deer or an owl or a giant rabbit or an alien that's constantly coming every 6 months or a year or 2 years, and then you have that time elapse where you know it's coming again. You know, and they know it's coming again.
Yeah, and then let's talk about some of the other things that we can't really wrap our minds around, because there are some things that people then behave differently. Their behavior changes. And it changes. And at first, it may not. Maybe you can talk to this, Chris, and then we're going to go to Heidi. You know, I think when people see this, they look at this and they say something like, well, why did it take them a year to have that show up? Well, come on. We know so much about PTSD in the military. And, you know, Annie, and I've worked with the Veterans Association. I have a family history of vets, came back from multiple wars. You're fortunate if all of the PTSD symptoms show up at once, and you're not so fortunate at the same time. But you may come back and you may not know things. You mentioned missing time, but then you may have odd behavior.
right? Where you're standing there and your wife says, honey, sit down to the table, and you can't let go of the wall. And you know, your partner is like, well, honey, sit down and eat dinner with us. And he or she is like, can you bring me my plate? And you're standing on the wall, right?
Oh, absolutely, doctor. And it's not only that. We see that abductees all of a sudden have sleepwalking.
Oh.
And then they'll wake up and they have no idea why they're
None.
In the kitchen.
None.
Or they for some reason, they got to get up and lock every door in the place. Pull down the shades and look through the shades, and they have this fear, but they can't comprehend the fear, doctor. And you know more about that than I. They know something is scaring them to death.
Yep.
And then they develop an addictive behavior.
That's it. There we go.
And it constantly goes over and over and over again, and that's PTSD in a nutshell, right, ma'am?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, we could do a whole show on addictive behavior as a result. Of adoptees.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Mark, let's go to the phone. Heidi has been waiting so patiently. Heidi, do me a favor. Turn off your radio in the background. We'd love to hear from you. What is your question? Jacob, let's make it happen.
Sounds good. She's connected right now.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome to the Doc.
Hey, can you all hear me all right?
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear.
Good. All right. Well, I will say that I was apprehensive to listen to the show today because of the, quote, terrifying abduction part of the, you know, the promotion. And I've been working really hard to dispel fear around, I'll just say, ETs or star beings, because I don't really know if I would think they're all bad. I've recently come across the CE5 initiative, which is human initiated contact, and it is a peaceful, like, meditation spiritual practice. I'm brand new to this, but I guess I don't know really what to believe here. And
wow. Good.
I don't think I've had an abduction experience, but I sent a couple pictures into, I don't know who got them, Transformation Talk Radio Messenger. I did get a photo. Both times I've gotten photos of UFOs, I was not seeing anything with the naked eye, and I saw one recently, and I sent the pictures. I don't know if you're able to see them.
Yeah,
but,
I'm having Jacob get them right now. I'm having Jacob get them right now.
Okay.
Here's what I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say something to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the courage to call into the show.
Absolutely.
I got to thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I got to thank you for the courage to call into the show, because me and my profession, you know, we are not allowed to talk about this stuff. I'm just telling you. You know, I have been blacklisted from more colleges, but I'll tell you this. There are some things that we cannot understand or explain, but I love that you don't know what you don't know, because you called in to talk to the right person, Chris DiPerna. And the reason I love that you don't know what you don't know, because you're an open vessel, right? However, I'm going to kick it to Chris now. You ready? You do know something.
Yes, you do.
So you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
But you do know something because you call it Chris, right?
Absolutely. Well, let me, what a wonderful question, Heidi. And let me explain one thing. There's a difference between an extraterrestrial and a star child. A star child, from what I've been taught, is a reincarnated person, maybe from another planet. For instance, I was studying about a Russian child who claimed he lived on Mars. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He knew more about astronomy and the universe at 8 years old than most college professors teach in astronomy. So the star child is something different. It's like a reincarnation of somebody. And they're not evil. They're not bad. They're here to actually help us. And this is what he said. Now, getting to the extraterrestrials, not all extraterrestrials are bad. We do have extraterrestrials who look at the Earth and say, you know, this is a great natural planet that you have. It's a wonderful thing. We want to enhance you, make you better, and work with you, you know, in their way of doing it. But then we have species just like we have on Earth We have extraterrestrial species that say, we want the planet. We don't care about these little human ants running around. You know, they're primitive to us. As we know in our history, we have met civilizations that were more advanced than the other one. They come in and they go, hey, we're going to take over your land. We're going to destroy you and everything else. And this could be a possibility of what the hybridization program is all about, is that what a simple way to take over the planet is to create their own species to take over this without anybody firing a shot. Because as I explained to Mark, what would we do as what the primitive stuff we would have? If we had an alien invasion, we would go to nuclear war. We would start nuking places.
Yeah.
With a hybridization program, putting their own people on the planet.
Yeah, because if we nuked the planet, then it wouldn't be usable to them.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. So,
yeah. I have a question for Chris.
Yeah.
Because I want to give Heidi some help. And I'm not that person on this topic. Because Heidi, thank you again, calling in, opening herself up. And there are things she should be mindful and aware of and should know, right? And so I would love two things. One, let's make sure she gets the website. But when you're working with somebody, Chris, like Heidi, that has called in and has had an experience, maybe doesn't have a whole lot of information about this, what guidance might you say to her?
Well, first of all, we're great listeners. We would first listen to this story and dissect it and be able to understand what she's going through, how she's going through it.
Uh-huh.
That would be the very first thing you got to do. You got to listen to the person and able to understand what they're going through. And the amazing thing about the Experiencer Research Team, which is part of MUFON, we have what we call the ERT team, the Experiencer Research Team, which are all abduction specialists, which I'm on. I'm an abduction specialist. Is that we have psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors on that team. And if we think that it's something that should be referred to them, we would pass you off to a medical professional like that. Or we would say, hey, listen, we think that we should get you to a psychologist. You know, you should go to your psychologist, your medical person and stuff.
Yeah.
But we do have medical people on our team that are absolutely excellent. And they can dissect the story much better than I can.
Yeah. Heidi, I sense you may have another question. Do you want to get it out here now?
I'm good. I don't feel like I have PTSD or a negative abduction experience, but I think there. Who knows what's possible, right?
Yes. And by the way,
I just
PTSD
don't
is one element.
That.
Yeah. You right. Not everybody gets PTSD. So I just want to be clear about that, okay? There are multiple reasons that we don't have a lot of time in this show. We should do a show on this where PTSD can be triggered from a past life. Just saying. We've had people tell us that.
Yeah.
It can be triggered because of the nature of something. And what I mean by the unusual nature. But here's a thought. If you get abducted, and I'm going to let you go, Heidi, and then Chris is going to have to answer this question, and Mark. But it's like people that work with Mark. If you're working with an element that you believe in to begin with, and you're comfortable with that belief, when you actually don't have to call Mark Anthony anymore, and you're speaking to somebody that's crossed over, it will not cause PTSD because in your own consciousness and subconsciousness, you're already aligned with the possibility. And I'm not talking about like a Freudian alignment of the subconscious. I'm talking about an in-depth, you know, Dr. Catherine, who was on the show today, that level of alignment. And so not everybody may get PTSD. So I just want you to hold on to that because, see, we do this thing here. This makes me crazy. We do this thing with labels all the time. And if you don't have the label, it means you're excluded from the experience. Heidi, you're not excluded, okay? You feel me, sister?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We're going to get to Chris. He's got to answer this one.
Okay.
I was so enthralled with your thing, I forgot the question.
But here's the thing. If we have an experience, look, I grew up with ghosts, and I used to draw them, and I used to have dreams. I mean, don't even get me started about the whole alien picture dreaming thing. So by the time I was 8 years old, and if I'd had that experience, I mean, my first experience with literally seeing people that were on the other side or moved beyond, I was 8 years old, but I was not scared because something happened to me previously. So we want to put everybody as PTSD, but PTSD is very subjective. It is unique. It's to everybody. Isn't it possible, Chris, that you could have this experience? However, the experience to you may or may not be traumatic.
Oh yeah,
we've right. Right, Heidi, right? Heidi's right.
Yeah, right. And so we've had people call and say, I was able to hold a hybrid child. I knew this was my child. It was the most wonderful, loving feeling I've ever had. And other people have said that they've had classes. My good friend who is in Arizona, he was abducted as a child. Nothing traumatic. They were actually teaching him how to move objects, colored objects, different colored objects with his mind. So as I said, we're not under attack by extraterrestrials when I say this, because there are good ones out there that we had people who've had experience with that have had more of a teaching program, an understanding program. But then we have, like you say, there's good and bad in everything. We have some of the bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Chris, thank you for that. Heidi, thank you so much. Mark, I want to kick it back to you, right? Because, you know, I did mention your area of expertise and body of work. And, you know, part of this is, you know, when I got older, the concept of seeing people in my home that, what is the language we call them? We call them ghosts for common language.
Right.
Let's just use that term.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time I got to that experience, they didn't have to send me to Dr. Jacoby. They sent me to Dr. Jacoby because I thought I was lying. But in the realm of what you've seen, Mark, and you've seen, Chris, don't we have to be open to multiple possibilities here?
Oh,
because it's not a one-size-fits-all like we have been seeing in our pop culture media.
If I can, then I'll wait. Yes, absolutely. That's a great question, Dr. Pat, because that would also be assuming that everything in the universe is perceptible through our five physical senses of sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. And now we know this is absolutely an incorrect assessment. According to NASA, over 90% of the universe is dark matter, meaning it is not perceptible to our senses. So if 90% of existence is beyond our ability to perceive, it is naive, ignorant, and downright stupid to think that, you know, there aren't these possibilities. So that's my take on it.
Yeah. Chris, how about you?
Well, I will tell you there's two most important words in my vocabulary now that I didn't have before. One is consciousness. And consciousness covers everything. Your consciousness of the spirit world or the spirit, your consciousness of the ET, multidimensional, you know, different things. And you have to open your mind to the consciousness of this fantastic universe we live in, multidimensional, everything. And the other word is frequencies. You have to be in tune to that consciousness by different frequencies. Some frequencies are harmful. And this is more of a thing for Mark to answer because he's in tune to those frequencies where I'm not. But frequencies are extremely important. It's going to be extremely important to the human race.
Oh, they are. And it appears that the great advancement within the 21st century in medical technology is energy healing. In other words, taking damaged or diseased cells and through the use of energy medicine to raise its vibration, because the vibration of a diseased cell, like a cancer cell, is much lower than a healthier cell. Now, that ties into what you were talking about, Chris. The Havana syndrome is a misuse of electromagnetic, of microwave energy to damage cells. And so what you're seeing in the debriefing of abductees is damage to their tissue, which is similar to what happens in the Havana syndrome. But I also wanted to ask you, you know, because we jumped ahead and got to the energy damage to these people. What about physical injuries, cuts,
right.
bruises, intrusions? Mm. What have you, and I know that you sent us some pictures, but what can you describe for our audience about those?
Well, first of all, we have the hypothesis, the theory that some of these experiments that are being done are extremely traumatic, and they're awake. They may not remember it. And we see finger bruising on people, especially it's the same way as I would look at an assault person or a rape victim or something like that. Mm-hmm. I would see their arms being held down, so much pressure that you could see the finger bruising on their forearms or their legs. And that's very suspicious to us. So we say, wait a minute, this person woke up and they got, you know, four finger bruisings on their legs and things of that nature. We see identifying marks like a precise triangle that we look at and go, wow, that is exactly the same measurement I'm saying. So that has to be some kind of instrument. You know, it wasn't just like, well, I'll pick here, pull there, put that there, needle. It had to be an absolute instrument against their skin, penetrating their skin. And then the other thing that we're seeing is that some people are coming back with a brand that does not go away for some period of time. And then we see the dehydration of people, the weight loss of people, the cravings of certain proteins and salt. And then we see, here's the most scariest thing, Mark, and it's not everybody, but people will tell me, Chris, I've been downloaded with something.
Yeah.
And I cannot get what it is, but all I know is that when the right time comes, this download will open up. And we have no idea what this is. We have no idea what they've been downloaded. We know that some people get dreams that they've never had before, like dreams of nuclear destruction, dreams of a nuclear war and stuff that they've never dreamed about before.
Could it be possible they're implanting something like a chip that, in other words, it makes it easy for them to locate? And the reason that I say this, when you're talking about the dehydration and think about when biologists go out and they'll shoot a dart into a grizzly bear, and then they go and start taking blood samples and all this, and they tag it and put a chip in. Same thing with sharks. They'll pull a shark out of the water and they'll tag this. So when I start hearing and working with the abductees, what they go through sounds an awful lot about like what humans do to other species on this planet. You know, we don't worry about the psychic trauma when we go out and we, you know, shoot a dart into a giraffe and start tagging it. And so we're having this superior intelligence, these aliens doing the same thing. But they may be implanting something that would make it easier for them to locate these individuals. Has there been any discussion in your circles about that?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, You explained it much better than I had. They look at us like because we're not the big boys on the block anymore. We're a primitive species to them. So they treat us like we would treat a giraffe or a bear or something. Let's tag it, bag it, and put it back, and let's track it. So they're scientists, too. That's how they, I mean.
Exactly. That was my point.
Yeah.
We're lab rats.
Exactly. Yeah. We're a petri dish to them.
You know, Calvin Parker, who's one of the considered the most reliable abductee on record, and I've got to work with him quite a bit, and he was a 19-year-old by his admission, redneck, fishing at Pascagoula, Mississippi, when this spaceship came out of the sky and took him and his friend. He said, we were caught in this beam of light. We couldn't move, and these robotic things took them out. He said, Mark, when it was done, and this, that was not the only time they did this to him, he said, I felt like I was nothing more than a lab rat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they do chip us. They do put implants. Dr. Lear, before he passed away, took several implants out. I sent a couple photos Maybe in some other time we can get and show those photos or whatever. But here's the amazing thing about those things. They will give off a radio frequency, and they move. There have been people who've tried to take them out, and they move through the body where you can't get to them. So the technology is so amazing that the body will not reject it. It will move to keep it preserved. And people know that they're implanted because they'll have, like you said, tinnitus and other things.
Right. Chris, unfortunately, we're out of time. And Dr. Pat and I will be back next week. If you want to find out about Chris, go to the Mutual UFO Network website. I'm also inviting everyone to go to my website, afterlifefrequency.com. I got two spirit communication events coming up. And the amazing Dr. Pat will be back next week with me, and we're doing a call-in show for readings and the advice from Dr. Pat. Mm-hmm. On behalf of everyone at The Psychic and the Doc, thank you, everyone, and keep watching the sky.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, everybody, thank you for tuning in to The Psychic and the Doc with Mark Anthony and me, Dr. Pat Basile, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, look, come back next week so we can explore with you more of life's many challenges and learn from fascinating guests, and you know what? Even Mark and me. We'll connect you and discover insights from people in this life and from the afterlife. Extraordinary problems, yeah, they do. They require extraordinary solutions. But step into the world of possibilities with us on The Psychic and the Doc. That's every Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. And don't forget, we're also live face-to-face on Facebook.com, Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belz on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
You are a brilliantly self-aware woman with a big heart and a cycle of dissatisfying relationships. Maybe you're drawn to a man who lights a fire in you but leaves you feeling amiss. Does that sound about right? My name is Love Coach Mariah, and I help women navigate the rough waters of rocky relationship from push and pull to peace of mind. Learn more at lovecoachmariya.com. The first call is on me.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun, and it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection Coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community. Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent network have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you.